Greetings to listeners all around the world. Welcome to Safe Dividend Investing's podcast number 139 on October 25th of 2023. My name is Ian Duncan MacDonald. In today's podcast, I'll be answering five interesting investment questions. The objective of my books, my website, and my podcasts are to show all those seeking financial independence how to become informed, confident, successful, self-directed investors. Question number one. Would you invest in a company whose share prices have quickly climbed to new record highs, but analysts are stating it is overvalued? Share prices and how quickly they have climbed are not important to me. What is important to me is whether the company is financially strong, whether it is paying a high dividend, whether the dividend payouts have been consistent or gradually rising over the last 20 years, even during the market crashes of 2008 and 2020. I also want to see whether the share price has been steadily increasing over those last 20 years. I do not want to see sudden rises followed by sudden crashes. I live off my dividend income. The sources of my income is my portfolio. Preservation of my wealth by protecting this source of income is of critical importance. The steady growth in the value of the portfolio results in a steady increase in my dividend income. Why? Because financially strong companies usually increase their dividend payouts to stop their dividend yield percent from decreasing. They know that this is what their shareholders expect. The current share price is almost irrelevant, as the stock in my portfolio are bought with the understanding that they will most likely never require me to sell them. I would only sell them if their dividend yield percent dropped below 5%, while at the same time their IDM stock score fell below 50. These two events occurring together rarely happen. Years can go by without changes being made to my portfolio. In the IDM stock scoring software, the impact of analyst recommendation represents 10% of the total score, which is the same percentage the share price, operating margin, price to earnings, and so on have on the score that is calculated out of 100. If you study the recommendation of analysts, you quickly learn they have no magic crystal ball that allows them to accurately predict future share prices. Getting future share predictions right more than 50% of the time is rare. This is why you must do your own analysis of the stock. It is also why I have a portfolio of 20 to 30 carefully chosen financially strong stocks to protect me from the odd stock that deviates from its pattern of strength and from recessions and market crashes when all stocks shrink. If you want to understand how to pick strong stocks, go to www.informus.ca. Question number two. Is it possible to make money by trading stocks? Yes, it is possible to make money trading stocks. It is also possible to make money playing poker, buying lottery tickets, and participating in many other games of chance. If your objective in trading stocks is to get rich quickly by speculating on buying a stock at a low price and selling it at a higher price, then you will most likely lose money, as most speculators do. The problem with speculating seems to be the timing. Speculators are attracted to stocks that are showing sudden increases in their share price. They jump on the bandwagon with all the other speculators who are all sure they can ride the stock to the sky. Unfortunately, share prices never move for long in any one direction. They go up and they go down. When the skyrocketing share price pauses or shrinks, they are then forced with trying to determine if this decline is just a typical stock price movement that will soon reverse and start climbing again, or is the stock going to fall far below what they paid for it? Should they get out? Should they buy more of it while it is inexpensive? Or should they sit there paralyzed by indecision? They did not buy that stock for its enduring strength. They bought it to sell it as soon as they had made a substantial profit. Those investors who bought the stock as a long-term safe investment at a low price to strengthen their retirement portfolio long before it started to accelerate and attract the attention of speculators can afford to wait out any share price drops. They did their homework before buying the stock and are aware of its long-term strengths. Question number 3. Does the saying, putting all your eggs in one basket, apply to investing in stocks? There are supposedly about 16,000 stocks that you could purchase in North America. However, there are only a few hundred stocks that I would consider to be financially strong. It is possible to score stocks based on their history and financial strength. All publicly traded companies are required to submit audited financial information on a regular basis. This information is easily obtained over the internet. If you scored all 16,000 stocks, it would then be possible to sort the stocks from the strongest, most likely to show increases in profits and share value, to the weakest, teetering on the edge of bankruptcy. If you had $1 million to invest, would it be best to put all that money in the strongest of the 16,000 stocks? No, it would not. If you were interested in generating a dividend income, it would be most likely that most of the strongest stocks only pay a modest dividend payout. The other reality is that all strong stocks eventually weaken, and in time, they too will disappear. The world is in constant flux. To protect yourself, you need to spread your $1 million equally among 20 to 30 of the strongest stocks paying the highest dividends. To further protect yourself, these 20 to 30 stocks must be the strongest in several different areas of business, who react to changes in the economy differently. For example, during COVID-19, the leading strong companies in the cruise line industry all became unprofitable. However, many strong pharmaceutical companies supplying COVID-19 vaccines had record profits. The future is unpredictable. It is important for your investments, like your eggs, be spread over many baskets to minimize the impact of unexpected disasters such as a COVID-19. Question number 4. Can investing in stocks provide you with a reliable income while requiring little of your time in managing your portfolio. For the last 19 years, I've lived off the dividend income generated by my stock portfolio. It provides me with an annual six-digit income even during market crashes like 2008 and 2020. That portfolio is several multiples higher than when I started investing because the 20 financially strong companies I invest in have constantly increased their share prices. Most do it slowly. For example, in 1999, one of my bank stocks was at $30.40 a share. By 2004, it was at $51.90. By 2010, it was at $63.09 a share. During the 2008 stock market crash, it dropped down to $48.70 a share. Just before the crash, it had been at $69.49. By 2019, it had climbed steadily to $105.82. During the 2020 crash, it dropped down to $70.77, but climbed rapidly to $107.46. And in April of 2023, it was at $123.94. The dividend payouts for the stock traveled a similar path. In 1999, the stock was paying 23 cents per share every quarter. In 2022, it was paying $1.33 per share every quarter. This is hardly a get-rich-quick way of investing, but with careful selection of financially strong stocks paying high dividends, you can not only realize a reliable income, but an ever-growing income. What I found interesting was realizing that many companies who are paying a 5% dividend yield to their shareholders never want that dividend yield percent to fall below 5%. Thus, when their share prices climb, to keep the dividend yield steady at 5%, they must increase the amount of the dividend payout. These are strong companies. Their shares are invested in many funds, and they also appear in the portfolios of hundreds of thousands of shareholders who depend on their dividend payouts. These companies also compete with other companies in their industry that they are compared with, who pay similar dividend yields. It is a competitive shareholder satisfaction strategy. The question is, how do you identify such companies? I developed stock scoring software to help me measure them. It then makes it easy to sort stocks from most to least desirable. I developed this software for my own use, but when I was asked to write investment books, I decided to supply the software to those who were purchasing the books. While it only takes a minute or two to score a stock, I wanted to make it easier and faster for someone to build a strong portfolio. So in my last two books, New York Stock Exchange's 106 Best High Dividend Stocks, and the book I brought out in August of 2023, Canadian High Dividend Investing, 206 Stocks Scored and Analyzed, all the time-consuming effort of finding and scoring hundreds of stocks is already done. It is then just a matter of reviewing the data, which is sorted in several useful ways to choose those stocks for your portfolio. This takes care of creating the initial portfolio. But what about after it is created? In my portfolio of 20 stocks, I may score a few of them every few months. Since I'm very familiar with the scores, I can usually mentally score them by looking at the data that goes into the scores, things such as operating margins, price-to-earning ratios, book values, and so on. I can look in my reference books where they all appear, and I can see how the current numbers compare to the book numbers. Usually, there's very little change. This might take me 3 to 4 hours during a year. However, every day I am listening and reading about what is going on in the stock market and the economy in general. I am not oblivious to the reality that share prices for many of my stocks have dropped significantly lately, and I'm not surprised that these share price drops have had no impact upon my dividend income. Investing requires patience and common sense. You only lose money in the stock market by selling that stock at a price below what you paid for it. Just because a stock has dropped in value does not mean you should sell it. If you can look back over 20 years of data and see the same stock rising after each crash to reach new record highs, it is not unreasonable to expect the same thing will occur again. Thus, you learn to relax, collect your regular dividends, and wait for the share price to recover. The interesting thing is that when the share price does reach new heights, you still do not sell it because you would then be required to spend time and effort to find a stock equally as strong. It would also require paying taxes on the capital gain. The only stock I have sold in the last year was a strong stock I bought at $4 a share. Yes, there really are strong, inexpensive stocks. It was paying a dividend of about 8% when I bought it. Over a few years, it rose to $24 a share, but the company did not increase their dividend payouts. The dividend yield dropped down to less than 2%. I sold it because I could take that money from the sale and invest it in strong stocks, paying a dividend of 7% and increase my income. Investing requires little of your time if you invest the same way I do. Is it not simpler and easier to turn your money over to an experienced financial advisor who, for a small fee, will manage your money for you? When you are dealing with a financial advisor, never forget that you are viewed by them as a source of revenue to be maximized. In my first investment book, Income and Wealth from Self-Directed Investing, I described how the 80-year-old Miss Innocence chose to receive an annual income of $35,000 from her million-dollar portfolio. The large national bank that was providing her with full-service investing was, much to her surprise when it was shown to her, taking $25,000 in charges, fees, and commissions from her portfolio every year, which was 2.5% of her portfolio, not the 1% she thought they told her they would be taking. The safe investments her advisor put her portfolio into lost $300,000 in 4 years. After I reviewed her monthly statements with her, it came as a surprise to Miss Innocence that the $35,000 annual income she was receiving was coming from the selling of pieces of her portfolio every month. It was not from the monthly dividends or interest she thought the portfolio was earning. She had also not recognized that the dozens of stocks being bought and sold in her portfolio incurred processing fees, or that the foreign stocks required the bank to charge her foreign exchange fees. The bank had assured her that her million-dollar portfolio would last her lifetime. At the rate it was losing money, it would have lasted only a few more years. Financial institutions promote full-service investing as removing all the stresses from your life, saving you the time of managing your investments, and most importantly, acting like a speed bump to stop you from making impulsive, foolish investment decisions. They avoid detailing their charges and what time they will be spending with you. They want you to put blind faith in the choices they will make with your money. They do not want you to ask too many questions or to put demands on their time. The few times a year Miss Innocent talked to her advisor was probably costing her about $500 a minute. Even when you establish a self-directed stock trading account, investment advisors will try to switch you to full-service investing. You are an investor. They know you have money invested that they can take a piece of, if they can only convince you to let them handle your money. You are a sales prospect. I have found that few investment advisors, if any, have spent any time closely studying dividend stocks. They want to sell you vague mutual funds, index funds, and ETFs. These are packages that only require a general knowledge of stocks and require no research effort on their part. I wonder if they even know how to identify a financially strong stock. Selling funds also protects them from being sued by disgruntled investors who see their life savings shrinking. They can immediately defend the portfolio's poor performance by pointing out how the skilled fund managers manage the fund has diversified the stocks. Diversity is not the same as safely choosing 20 individual stocks wisely. Not wanting to deplete your life savings by investing in a fund, they must be slowly liquidated, is something that investment advisors do not want to hear from a prospect. There is no reason that a portfolio must be liquidated to provide you with a reliable income if you are invested in financially strong stocks paying reliable high dividends. Your purpose in life is not to provide an investment advisor with a steady income for decades as they nibble away on your portfolio. Thanks for listening. If you wish more information on investing and stock scoring, please visit my website, www.saferbetterdividendinvesting.com.